Hi everyone, thank you for tuning in today. Today is the most important day in the Christian calendar because it's Easter Sunday. And for us, we think about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. I want to encourage you as we start listening into this message to think about what Easter means for you personally. Because today, I thought I'd do something special and come on site a site at Ipswich General Cemetery where this message has a whole lot more meaning. You know, cultures all around the world have had a fascination with death and what life is beyond death. Whether it's in the movies, whether it is just in discussions, we always wonder what lies beyond and how can we be certain that we've made the right choices here and now to make sure that life beyond is going to be a good one. So listen up and let's see what God has to say this morning. I'd like to tell you about three stories from Jesus' life that are all relevant to the resurrection. The first of these was of a 12-year-old girl who fell gravely sick. She was the daughter of Jairus, who was a synagogue ruler. Jairus had heard about Jesus healing people, and so he'd fought his way through the crowds to come into the presence of Jesus and make a special request of Jesus to come and to heal his little girl. Now, for me as a father, I have a 12-year-old daughter, and this story hits me hard because whilst Jesus fought his way through and managed to convince Jesus to come with him, while they were on their way, some of his friends came from home to let Jairus know that his daughter had died. Now, death for them back then wasn't as sanitized as it is today for us. There was no hospital emergency ward with bleach white, crisp clean sheets, with all of the medical equipment around. Death was very real. They knew death. And so after this moment, Jesus turns to Jairus and says to him, "Jairus, just believe." And they continue on their way. They reach Jairus' home and there are mourners all around, and Jesus dismisses the mourners and tells them to go away. And then Jesus walks with Jairus, his wife, and a few of his disciples to the upper room. And there lays Jairus' daughter, lifeless, pale, on her bed. Jesus reaches out his arm, he takes her by the hand, and he says to her, "Little girl, arise." She gets up instantly and walks around the room. It is a miracle unlike anything that anyone in the day has ever seen before. This little girl who was dead is now alive. And she's up walking around, restored to full health. The second story is of a funeral procession. Here, a widow is leading a procession to bury her son, her only son. Now, as they're coming along, Jesus sees this, and he knows there is no Centrelink for widows in this day and age. There is no pension. People in this day and age relied on their children to care for them in their old age. And Jesus, once again, is filled with compassion for this lady and her loss. He reaches up his hand, he places it on the casket, and he says to this young man to arise. And there in the middle of this funeral procession, this young man sits upright and is raised to life. Now, once again, everyone that saw this happening was stunned and filled with awe. This young man had been dead, no doubt, a day or two before the funeral procession took place. And everyone around is amazed at the power of Christ at this time. The third story is about two sisters and a brother who Jesus already knew. Their names were Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Lazarus had become ill. Now, because Mary and Martha already knew Jesus, they sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was sick and to come immediately so that Jesus could lay hands on Lazarus like he had many other people and heal him. Well, at this moment, Jesus does something unexpected. He delays, and he actually doesn't start back to their hometown, Bethany, where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived, for a couple of days. But after a couple of days, he picks up and he starts the journey towards Bethany. Again, while they're on the journey, Jesus receives word that Lazarus has already died. Now, Mary and Martha had heard Jesus was coming in, and they come out to meet him as well. And you can imagine their sense of grief. Now, Lazarus hasn't just died. Lazarus has actually been dead for quite a number of days now. In fact, he's already been in the tomb for 4 days, we read in the Gospel of John. There, at that entrance point, Mary and Martha and Jesus sees their grief, he sees their emotion, he sees their pain, and he's filled with compassion for them, and he tells them, just believe. He says, take me to where Lazarus has been laid. Take me to his tomb. Take me to the cemetery. And there in the cemetery, Jesus sees the place where Lazarus has been laid. Lazarus has been laid in what we would call a crypt today. It's a cave, and it has a big rock put over the entrance, and then it's sealed so that the smell doesn't come out. Well, Jesus says something unexpected. He says, roll back the stone. There are objections from the crowd. What are you doing? He's dead. He's been dead 4 days. But the stone is rolled back. And then Jesus says something that no one around expects. He says, Lazarus, come out or come forth. And Lazarus, to the shock and amazement of everyone, comes to the entrance to the crypt, still in the grave clothes that he's been buried in. It is a resurrection like no one has ever seen before. This man, not just dead, but having been dead and buried for 4 days. You can imagine the looks on people's faces, the screams, people just turning bright white. It would be as if someone just buried in the cemetery behind me was asked to come forward and all of a sudden sat up. It would be something that you would never forget. These three accounts show Jesus as being master over life and having control over death. For the 12-year-old girl who had just died, for the funeral procession where the young man had died maybe a day or two earlier, and for Lazarus, who had been dead and buried for over 4 days, you see an increasing time period over which Jesus continues to demonstrate mastery. Nowadays, one of the things on our TV programs that I've watched are these medical shows that show medical procedures. People rushed into the emergency medical ward for treatment after car accidents or after a mishap at home. And I'm constantly amazed at the medical marvels where people sew up these deep cuts, or they do a skin graft to a person who has been burnt. Amazing medical discoveries that continue to demonstrate so much more today than was known 2,000 years ago. But for all of the medical discoveries, for every advance that has been made, for each new chemical medicine that we invent, none of these comes anywhere near the power of Jesus. Jesus demonstrates his power in healing. He heals the blind and he gives them sight. He gives those who can't walk the ability to walk, the lame stand up and dance around. For those that are sick with illnesses that are undiagnosable or untreatable in his day, Jesus places a hand on them and they're cleansed as good as new. And here we've seen that the dead are actually raised to life. Jesus demonstrates complete mastery and power over all these things. On that first Easter, God demonstrates his power over death in a very visible way for us. Paul summarized what happened in 1 Corinthians in the scriptures. He says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." What does he say here? He says here that when Christ was raised, it was not done in a back corner. If the religious leaders of the day that had opposed Jesus could have found his body and brought it to the attention of everyone, there would have been no Christianity. If the Romans could have demonstrated that Christ was still buried, that would have been the end. But Christ was raised. And it says here that Christ appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, and most are still living. Now that's important because it means that whilst these words were being written down, those who were witnesses could have refuted, could have corrected, could have said, no, that didn't happen, could have called argument and brought into question what was written, but it wasn't. These words were attested by all who saw and witnessed the resurrection back in that first century. The only question that remains is, what do you believe and what do I believe about death and about what the future holds? James 3:36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not believe in the Son will not see life because God's wrath remains on him." What camp are you in today? A number of years ago, I went out to dinner with my family, and as is often the case, you end up having to wait a while for food. So we sat down in this restaurant and my kids at the time wanted to play spelling games. So my eldest daughter, who wanted to demonstrate her spelling prowess, says, "I'll spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious." And she goes off trying to spell out this word. And so we just told her to spell intelligent. And she managed to spell intelligent. And then it was my son's turn, who was a couple of years younger, and at the time he had a real fixation on Pokemon. And so we said, "Spell Pokemon," which he did quite easily. And then we told him to spell it backwards, which he did quite easily. And then I told him to spell it sideways. And that stumped him for a while. He wasn't sure what to do. But I said to him, "It's just I-T-S-I-D-E. W-A-Y-S. And eventually he got the joke. Now, we also gave him another word and he got this one misspelled. And it was of one of his favourite toys, which was a Beyblade, which is like a kid's spinning top that they have today. And as kids do, he thought he would argue with me about what was true and what was not true. And I said to him, okay, I'll make a deal with you. I was 100% sure of what the spelling was, but as a little 10-year-old, he wasn't 100% sure. I said to him, I said, if it's spelt the way that I say, you give me one of your Beyblade stadiums. If it's spelt your way and I'm wrong, I'll buy you a new Beyblade top that you can have. Now, he sat there for a moment, he thought about it. And he thought, And he came to the conclusion that he wouldn't sign up for that deal. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, well, I'm only 95% sure. So I commended him on his wisdom. When it comes to thinking about the life hereafter and the resurrection, how sure are you of what you believe? Are you 80% sure? Are you maybe 90% sure? Are you 95% sure? You know what? I wouldn't want to gamble my future, let alone buying a new Beyblade, on being 95% sure. I'd want to be 100% certain. When it comes to the resurrection and it comes to Jesus, John chapter 20, 31 says that these things are written so that we may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he has died for us and risen again so that we can have complete confidence in who he is and the fact that he died for our sins on the cross so that one day we can follow in the footsteps of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus rose again as the first fruits or as the first amongst a harvest of many. Now, I want to be one of those many who knows that should I die and when I die, whether it be of a car accident or whether it be of old age or whether it be of COVID-19, whatever it may be that causes my life to end, I want to know with 100% certainty that my eternal destiny is secure. And I know that I can be secure by placing my trust in Christ. Why? Because he's already demonstrated he has the power over death. He's already demonstrated by rising to life himself. Now, those three people he rose from the dead, they all had to face death again at some later point down the track. But Jesus didn't face death again. He rose from the grave and now ascended into heaven. And he calls on each one of us to make a decision as to what we're going to place our trust in. If we place it in him, he says that for those who believe, he will make us his sons and daughters. He will forgive us our sins and he will grant us this gift of eternal life. For me, that's a promise that I'm going to bank my future on. And it's not a 95 or an 80%. It's a 100% pledge that you and I can trust today. Think about that for a moment. What is it that you want to trust with your eternal future? Jesus says to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I encourage you today, this day, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But today we do know. And today is the day to put your trust in Christ. To Mary and Martha, Jesus gave them these words. He said to them in John chapter 11, verse 25, it says, I am the resurrection and the life. I, that is Jesus, he who believes in me, He who believes in me, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus says that he is the resurrection and the life. He is the one that we can place our trust in. And to Martha, he says to her and challenges her, do you believe this? Well, this morning, this evening, when you're watching, do you believe? If you've never taken the step of placing your trust in Jesus, I encourage you, now is the time to do it. It isn't a mystery how to put your trust in Jesus. It's simply about saying to God, God, I'm choosing to believe. I'm choosing to bank 100% on Christ. If you're ready to do that this morning, I want to encourage you and pray with you and help lead you in that step. So if this morning you want to place your trust in Jesus, why don't you pray this prayer after me? Just listen and echo these words in your heart. And if you mean this in your heart, Jesus says he will hear you. And indeed, he will grant you this free gift of eternal life. He holds it out for all to receive. Pray after me. God, I thank you. I thank you that you love me and that you care for me enough to send your only son, Jesus, into this world. I thank you that Jesus died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven. God, I'm sorry that I've chosen to live my own way up to this point. And I want to live your way from here on in. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If that's you this morning, today is a great day because you started today not knowing about your future. And you end today in confidence that no matter what happens, no matter what comes your way, that you have an eternity that's held secure in heaven. That in Christ, you are secure for all of eternity. And that is a great day. That is something worth celebrating. If you're watching online this morning, there is a button on our website that I want to encourage you to hit. It's the I have decided. I have made a commitment to follow Jesus. If you hit that on the website and just put in your name and some contact details, the reason for that is so that we can encourage you in your journey in following Jesus. We don't want you just to make a decision today and then just feel like you're all alone. We want to be able to send you some material or some links that will help you continue your spiritual journey with Jesus. Because today is a great day, the best day of your life as you've placed your trust in him.